Hello and welcome once again to Studies in the Gospels, heard right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host of this program, where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today, as we are continuing in our series of lessons around the Perean ministry, the land beyond the Jordan, we come to Jesus' discussion in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 26, and the difficulty with riches. A well-known story in the life of Jesus involves his discussion with a rich young ruler, which is our text today in Matthew 19, beginning in verse 16 and going through verse 26. Let's go there. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now in our account today, we find a man who was so right, yet wrong. But he came to the right person, and that is Jesus. Now notice verse 16 again. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" He came to Jesus, the one who could tell him the way to eternal life. And he asked the right questions in the latter part of verse 16. "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And also notice verse 20. The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What do I lack? He certainly received the right answers. Notice verses 17 and following. So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." In verse 21, Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Certainly suitable answer for one living under the Old Testament. If you want to be perfect, go, sell, give to the poor, and come, follow me. Fitting for one who would become a disciple and follow Jesus during his ministry. But in the end, he made the wrong decision. Verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. As the rich young ruler went away sadly, Jesus instructed his disciples about the difficulty of riches. That it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." And then notice verse 24, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. What is it about being rich that makes salvation so difficult? Are we aware of the dangers? Do we understand the proper attitudes toward wealth, whether we are rich or poor? So let's begin today by considering the difficulty of wealth. Notice the absorbing interest of riches. Riches do not satisfy. And we foolishly think that simply more riches will bring satisfaction. Notice Ecclesiastes 1:8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. With riches comes the preoccupation with them. How to use them, how to maintain them, to store them, and on we go. Like a black hole, the accumulation of riches can absorb what time and energy we have, so that we have little time for anything else such as family, the Lord, and His church. And consider the deceitful promises of riches. Jesus warned about deceitfulness in Matthew 13, verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Riches promise much, but they really offer very little in return. They can easily disappear, rust, or be stolen. Proverbs 23:5, will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly like an eagle toward heaven. Matthew 6:19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Riches cannot buy your salvation. Psalm 49 verses 6 through 9, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. Also, in that same psalm, drop down to verse 16. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased? For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away with him. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lives, he blesses himself. For men will praise you when you do well for yourself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. A man who is in honor yet does not understand is like the beast that perished. And neither can riches protect one from God's wrath. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 18, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. Riches can deceive one into thinking they are in need of nothing. The parable of the rich fool illustrates the foolishness of such thinking. Notice Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" We see also the foolish pride that is brought about by riches. Wealth often promotes a sense of arrogance and pride in the individual. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 11. "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth.'" It was this type of pride that was also the downfall of Sodom and Israel. Notice Ezekiel 16, verses 49 and 50. "Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw fit." Also, Hosea chapter 13, beginning in verse 4. "Yet I am the Lord your God, ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me. For there is no Savior besides me. I knew you in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. When they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me." When man becomes blinded by such pride, they will no longer seek God. The 10th Psalm in verse 4 says, "The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts." And consider the hardening effect of the selfishness of riches. The wealthy, when they're in a position to help others, often close up their hearts to the cry of the poor. This was certainly one of Israel's sins. Notice Amos chapter 2 and verse 6. "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of sandals." Amos 5, verses 11 and 12, "Therefore, because you tread down the poor and take grain taxes from him, though you have built houses of hewn stone, yet you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine from them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins, afflicting the just and taking bribes, diverting the poor from justice at the gate." Also, Amos chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. "Hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat." Abusing the poor to make money, failing to respond to their cries for justice, hardened by being more interested in money than the welfare of the poor. Such are the problems that often afflict the rich. Now, certainly not all who are rich are guilty of such things. Some of the most godly people in the Bible were rich. Job, Abraham, Joseph, David, Solomon, Barnabas, Philemon, and Lydia. But these are reasons why it is so hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. If they let mammon become their god, they will not be willing to serve the true God, according to Matthew 6:24, that says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So from what we've seen about the danger of wealth, now let's consider things that we learn from the difficulty of riches. One of these is the foolishness of covetousness. Why should you be so anxious to be rich, when riches might prove to be a curse for us? Besides, covetousness is viewed by God as a form of idolatry. Ephesians 5:5, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." Colossians 3:5, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." It is not a sin to be rich, but the desire to be rich is wrong. Those who desire to be rich will fall into temptation and not go unpunished. 1 Timothy 6:9, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Proverbs 28 and verse 20, "A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished." Indeed, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, according to 1 Timothy 6:10. "For which some have strayed from the faith and suffered many sorrows." We must remember the duty we have of contentment. Contentment along with godliness is true wealth. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 and 7. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Socrates said he is richest who is content with the least. Contentment is a virtue that one must learn. Philippians 4, 11 and 12 says, Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul understood this. We can be content by having a proper perspective on life. 1 Timothy 6, 7, For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You can't take it with you. Indeed, you never see the U-Haul behind a hearse. We can be content by understanding what is truly essential in life. 1 Timothy 6, 8, And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Food and clothing. Anything more is a luxury. And when we realize this, we will appreciate how blessed we are. Christians are to be content with what things we have, according to Hebrews 13 and verse 5. And let us consider, in fact, there is a need for sympathy for the rich. Mark 10:20. If the rich are overcome by their riches, we should bear in mind that the desire to be rich affects both the rich and those who want to be rich. We should remember that the rich face many temptations that the poor do not. The rich are in need of salvation just as much as the poorest beggar. Romans 3:23, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We must have faith in the power of God. Now, though it is hard for a rich person to go to heaven, it is not impossible, as verses 23 to 26 point out in our text. No one can save themselves, whether rich or poor. But God can save the rich by his own power through the gospel. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, Matthew, Barnabas, Lydia, Aquila and Priscilla, Gaius and Philemon. Such people use their riches and service to God and others. As we read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 7 through 19, Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Therefore, the rich should have the gospel preached to them also. We should pray for the rich, and we should rejoice greatly that there are rich men and women in the kingdom of God that can do much good. So ultimately, the issue of wealth and riches is often one of contention. The poor are often envious of the rich, and the rich often despise the poor. But riches and poverty both have their difficulties. Well,